Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour with Pastor Harold E. Salem. The mission of the Christian Worship Hour is to share the good news of the gospel with a lost world and to encourage and equip Christians to pray for our families and our nations. Please join with us and the members of our church family as we study the incomparable Word of God. And stay tuned to learn more about how you can be a part of God's amazing plan to reach the world. We hope you will be blessed by today's program.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And isn't this a wonderful time of the year when we think of the birth of the dear Lord? We just rejoice that He came because He loved us and cared for us. And so today we're going to be thinking about God's little flock. And it's just a wonderful picture in the Bible how God cares for His people. But before we have the sermon, let's look at some of the letters. We get so many nice letters, and we just want to thank you for writing, and I hope more of you will write. And I'll give the address in just a few minutes, but let me look at a couple of these letters. There are several of them. We have one from Citrus Springs, Florida, and it says, God bless all of you. We are one in Christ, my Savior and Lord. I love Him so much. I'm 82 years old. I came to know Jesus when I was 43 years old. I was searching in so many areas. And then this is what she writes. Then the precious Holy Spirit showed me the way to Jesus. I'm going to tell you, that's just beautiful, and that's right on the head. That's nail on the head. The Holy Spirit shows us the way to Jesus. And how does he do that? Well, He talks to our heart, and He tells us, you need the Savior. You need Jesus. You ought to open your heart to Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit, and He's bringing you to Jesus. And then you have to open the door. You have to ask Him in and just tell Him, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner, and I ask You to come into my heart and take away my sins. And Lord, I'll turn from my sins the best way I can, and then I'll serve You every way. I'll turn from my wicked way and walk with You. And then, dear Jesus, thank You for saving my soul. That's what you need to do. Well, that's what this lady did. Now, here's a nice letter from Monticello, Minnesota. Please send your pamphlet on suicide. My father took his own life when I was 14 years old. He wrote a suicide letter asking Jesus to forgive him, for he was falling as he was falling asleep. He took pills to die. I have worried and wondered if Jesus would or could forgive him, or if my father is in hell. It has always bothered me. I'm 58 years old, and from time to time I watch your show and enjoy it, and thank you so much. Well, now we've written an article. We have a pamphlet. It's a 10-page pamphlet, and it is entitled, Can a Christian Who Commits Suicide Go to Heaven? And the answer is yes. Yes, and so this little pamphlet, a little booklet, really, and it's all God's Word. It's what the Bible says. It's not I had some dreams or visions or anything of the sort or died and came back to life again. It's what does God say? And so you write to us. I'm going to give the address right now so you'll have it. It's the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us christianworshiphour.com. You write for this book. We've put out several hundred, I think over 500, and helping a lot of people, giving them hope. Here's a nice letter from Antioch, California. Now listen to this. This is a lady that's writing to us. She says, I was saved in 1984. I heard a minister talking about Rahab and how she was saved and was even in the lineage of our dear Savior. I came to my senses and knew I could live a life like hers. I couldn't live a life like hers anymore. I know God forgave me, but it took a long time to forgive myself. I know that if God would give me one chance, I could live for Him in my own special way. I married my husband 30 years ago. I look back many times and can't believe how sinful I was. I am telling you this to be a witness to many people that their lives can be changed. The Holy Spirit breathed new life into me. He can breathe it into yours. Bless you, Pastor Salem, for all your encouragement. That's why I love to preach. It's the good news. And I don't care how sinful and wicked you've been. The Holy Spirit is moving in your heart, and you just open your heart to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will baptize you into the body of Christ spiritually, and you'll be a part of Jesus Christ and his family. Oh, trust Jesus. Ask Jesus into your life and never despair. There's hope for anybody that wants to come to Jesus. Here's a letter from Jacksonville, Florida. We watch your show every Sunday. You help me to grow as a Christian. And so, yes, we need to grow. And so that's why we read the Bible. That's why we preach the Bible. And in our sermons, it's the Bible. We're talking about the Bible all the time. And what does God say? And you should just listen to and just open your heart to the Lord. Ask him to save you. And then read his word. Read the Bible, especially the New Testament, especially the Gospel of John. I love the Gospel of John. And then you just serve the Lord the best you can. And the Holy Spirit will help you. And you'll be a happier person. You'll have peace at heart. And you can rejoice in the wonderful Savior. Well, I hope that you'll write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy. It's 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or thechristianworshiphour.com. You write to us. We read every letter we get. Love to hear from you. Now we want to preach a little bit here, and we want to talk about the God's little flock. And here we are, just a few days now until Christmas, less than 2 weeks. And oh, isn't that wonderful? And we think about the coming of the Savior. And he came to be the shepherd of a little flock of sheep. And those sheep are people that accept Jesus as Savior. So Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is yours, your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And so Jesus is talking to a band of people here, and he calls them his little flock. And he's surrounded by a whole lot of enemies, and he lives in a hostile world. We just saw last Sunday, thought about how the Christian people all over the world that are suffering and dying for Jesus. And so this little flock, that God will watch over them and keep them. And sometimes he takes them home. They have to die, for him, but he takes them home, precious home. And all of our life, then, he watches over this little flock. And in Isaiah 40, verse 11, he says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, shall gently lead those that are with young." And you know, my dad always had sheep. And he didn't had a couple milk cows, but boy, it was sheep everywhere. And I can just see this picture of this shepherd. And he's out and he has the flock out in the fields all during the day. And during the day, a little lamb is born. And that little lamb is on little wobbly feet and he can't make it. And the good shepherd takes that lamb and holds it in his arm close to his breast. And he carries that little lamb back to the fold. And other little lambs are coming. They're a little older, but they can't go so fast. So he gently leads those that have their young. And oh, God, that's Jesus. And he leads us all through life. And as Isaiah puts it, he gently leads those that are with the young. It's a beautiful picture of the dear Lord Jesus. Ezekiel the prophet talks about the same thing. He says, "And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God." And so he's talking about Christian people, and he's saying those that trust him become the sheep of his pasture. So just think of the Lord Jesus as the shepherd, and he's a good shepherd that loves us. He talks about that in John chapter 10, and Jesus describes this shepherd. He says, "I am the good shepherd." He says, "The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And then he says, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep." And he says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life." And he says, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, Jesus is saying in John 10. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And so we see Jesus, kind and loving and gentle, our guide that cares for us, watches over us and helps us along the way. So Jesus is pictured in both Testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament, as one who cares for us. Old Testament, the God of the ages, the Ancient of Days. He is the one who watches over Israel, and now he watches over his sheep. And his sheep are those people that accept Jesus Christ into their heart and life. And oh God, I hope you've done that. I hope you know the Savior. And so let's look at this little flock of his. He says, God talks about this little flock, and he says to Isaiah, I want you to go and I want you to comfort my people. And so Isaiah said, well, what will I say? What do you want me to say? And God says, say this, all flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as of the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. The word of the Lord abideth forever, will stand forever. And we say, oh my goodness sake, what comfort is there in that? And here's the comfort, he says. All flesh is as grass, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And what God is telling us here, he's saying, I want you to see your hopelessness. I want to see your helplessness. I want you to see that you can't save yourself. You have to have a Savior. And that's what Christmas is all about. Jesus, the wonderful Savior, comes. He's the shepherd. He's the Savior. And he tells us, you are like grass. It's cut in the morning, and the morning and the evening is gone. But the word of the Lord abideth forever, standeth forever. Put your faith in Jesus. Take the wonderful Jesus as your shepherd. And so this wonderful Jesus says, I'll be with you and walk with you and help you along the way. And you know what? You're never going to call on the name of the Lord until you see yourself as grass that is withering, until you see your weakness and your helplessness and your hopelessness and how that there's absolutely no way you can save your own soul. All of our righteousness in God's sight is like filthy rags. All we've gone astray, and the Lord laid on Jesus the shepherd all of our sins. And so you have to see that you can become a member of God's flock, God, Jesus' little flock, God's little flock. Then you have to call on the name of the Lord, and you have to say, dear Jesus, I have sinned against you. I've sinned grievously. I knew it was wrong. I sinned anyway. And Billy Graham says, when you confess your sins, is there something special in your life you want to confess? Name it. Don't need to name it to anybody, but just to you and Jesus, the shepherd. And just tell him, oh, I'm like that grass. I'm as weak as grass. I'll wither before night, and the wind will come and blow it. It'll be gone, and I'll not be there. And my soul will be cast into a Christless, godless eternity where the fire burneth and the fire is not quenched. And there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, my God, you got to have Jesus. Flee to Jesus. And Christmas time is the most wonderful time in the world. That's why he came, to be the Savior, to save us from our sins. And so he tells about how don't try to save yourself. You just can't do it. And so listen to what God says. Isaiah says, Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. And what he is saying is, you want to get an offering for your sins. Well, all the cedars of Lebanon and to make the fire and all the animals in the whole country of Lebanon can't wash away one speck of sin. You know, I'm interested in Lebanon, and when you talk about the cedars of Lebanon, why, just think about these cedars of Lebanon. He says that Lebanon is the emblem, the cedar tree is the emblem for the country of Lebanon. And they have the Middle East Airlines, and it's called MEA, and the Lebanon, the tree, that beautiful cedar tree, that's the emblem for their country. And if they, and they're about three, there are about 375 Lebanon cedars of great age that are standing. And in the Bible, the cedars of Lebanon are mentioned 71 times. And they are so beautiful and powerful and great. And so he talks about them. One of the trees is 130 feet tall. 130 feet tall, almost 13 stories high. Can you believe it? And it's and they're trees that are over a thousand years, and they're thriving. That means they're still growing. You can't imagine that. I've seen these cedars of Lebanon, and one of the trees is 9 feet in diameter, and they have lightning rods at the top of the trees so that to ward off the lightning striking those beautiful trees. Now Isaiah says, take all the cedars of Lebanon, take all the animals of Lebanon, and you make one great big sacrifice, and he says that it won't take away one single sin. Impossible. So Jesus alone, nailed to the cross, agonized and dying, shedding his blood, his precious blood, washed away the sins of the world. And if you come to Jesus, he'll say, he'll take away all of your sins. He's purchased the little flock. He purchased us with his own blood. God bless Jesus. Won't it be something to see him and talk to him? And then God's little flock is favored. He loves the multitude. He loves the world. But I'm going to tell you something. God so loved the world, and he does love the world, but he loves the world only till you die. And after death, that love of God stops for the unsaved, for the unrighteous, and it only carries on for those who believe and those who trust. So there's a limit to the love of God in here for the unsaved people. You have it now, but you won't always have it. Remember John 3:16? God so loved the world, and he gave his son to die for the world. And so this wonderful Jesus is there. And what is he doing? He's dying for that little flock. That little flock that's drifted into sin. And we're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There isn't any of us can stand up in the judgment and say, tell God, I never sinned in thought, word, or deed. I never stepped out of the way. Oh, God, you crazy talk. We're all poor lost sinners. And Jesus comes. And that's why we have Christmas, the coming of Jesus. Beautiful Jesus. And on that cross, he shed his blood, agonized and died. And he knew if that's what would happen, but he gladly went there. And in the Hebrews, it says, he who for the joy that was set before him, Jesus rejoiced that he could go to the cross and pay for our sins. Can you imagine such a wonderful love as that? And how can you turn your back on him? How can you resist such a love as that? And so you just get, and so you're special people when we have Jesus. And then that little flock is safe. They're totally safe. Men find comfort in numbers. They have their armaments, and that's what they trust in. But the Christian trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he tells us, fear not, I'm with thee, O be not dismayed. And though all of these things happen and take place, that this wonderful Savior, we are safe in Jesus. And there's not anyone can harm us, and the devil can't touch us, because we're in Jesus and we're clothed in his righteousness. You see, when we accept Jesus, when we ask Jesus to come into our heart and take away our sin, and any child can do it. I was 10 years old and I accepted Jesus. I remember it plain as day. And I know people that are in their 80s. I know two ladies. One is in their 80s and one in the 70s. They accepted Jesus when they were 5 years old. They're living for Jesus yet. So you come to Jesus. You need to have him. You've got to have him. And so this wonderful flock, then Jesus blesses us. And he helps us all through life. And that doesn't mean we won't have troubles and trials, because the wicked have troubles and trials, and so does the Christian. And I think the Christian has extra troubles and trials because the devil hates him. The devil loves his people, but he still afflicts them. He is the most wicked thing. And why would you follow the devil? But people do that. Troubles and trials are a part, can be a part of our blessing because they show, they because of what they do for us. They change us. They make us more dependent on the Lord. They make us more humble and gentle. And it, we can be a great example for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus tells us that you're going to have troubles in this world. He says, for instance, in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace. In the world, now this is Jesus, in the world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And in Romans 8:28, God tells us, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And so Jesus had his troubles and his trials and his sorrows, and so will you and so will I. But take heart to this dear Jesus. There he is caring for us. And lean on him and never doubt, never question. Because you see, Jesus tells us that I am going to walk with you and I'm going to be with you. I remember reading the story of a school for the deaf and the dumb. This little boy, for the deaf, that is. And they had some visitors one day. And they said, would you like to ask the children any questions? Little children couldn't speak, of course. And one of the men is callous and hard. He says, why did God make you deaf and dumb while he gave others hearing and speech? And the class was silent. And some of the people wept. They felt so sorry for that man to say something like that. How could he say it? And finally, a little boy got up and he wrote on the chalkboard, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. See, we trust the shepherd. We lean on the shepherd. We love the shepherd. I've seen that so many times. I can see this one mother. And she has three little children. And the doctor says, your husband's got 3 months to live, no more. And this mother sits there, and she can say it as plain as death. She knows that this husband's going to go. And she says, Lord, I just thank you for the years we've had together. And Lord, I know you're going to help us. You're going to see us through. You're going to help us. And what that woman was really saying was, even so, Father, if for so it seemed good in thy sight. In other words, little flock, people, dear friends today, suffering and hurting, love Jesus, trust Jesus. You can lean on Jesus. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll see you through. He'll carry you through because he is that good shepherd. And when you can't walk anymore, he'll carry you. Even those in old age, he'll carry us and help us. I'm 94 years old, and Jesus helps me every day, takes me through, carries me through. And so I want to just ask a question today. We're coming to this wonderful Christmas time, and I'm just kind of wondering if you know Jesus personally. He came to be your Savior. He came to be your shepherd, but he can't be unless you turn to him and give yourself to him and say, yes, I want to be a part of your flock. And maybe you've drifted into sin, and maybe you're a black in sin. One woman told me, she said, if you're to baptize me, I got so many sins, the water would turn black. The blood of Jesus Christ, not baptism, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. And so John writes and he says, these things have I written unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You know these things. What are these things? Well, it's in 1 John 5:12. He says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things means, do you have Jesus? You have to have Jesus. And he'll never be there till you call on his name. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, he says. If any man hears my voice, I will come in. I'll come into your life, and I'll give you peace and joy and happiness. Oh, my friend, listen to me. It's as plain as day. He that hath the Son hath life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. But the wrath of God abideth on them, man, that person, when they go into eternity and they meet God. And what are they going to say? They'll be speechless like the man at the wedding feast. He was speechless. He couldn't say anything. Oh, I'm praying that this Christmas time especially, isn't this a wonderful time you could pray and just say, oh, Jesus, I've sinned against you, and I ask you to just come into my heart. Use your own words. Don't get fancy. There's no special formula. Just from your heart, just tell him that you've sinned. He knows it. He wants you to confess it. And then you just tell him you're a sinner. And then you ask him to come into your heart and then tell him he said, Jesus taught repentance. I'll turn from my sins the best way I can, and I'll live for you, and I'll walk with you, dear Jesus. And then to thank him for saving you. And then rejoice and be happy and tell your friends and tell others that you've accepted Jesus and you're walking with the Lord. Oh, I just pray to God you will. And to those of you that have accepted Jesus and you are a part of his flock, but you're hurting, you're sick, you're lonely. We get letters from people and they're all alone. Nobody comes to see them, except those who wait on them. Listen, Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's right there. And you just believe him and lean on him. Lean heavy on Jesus. And you're a part of his flock. He's the good shepherd. He's watching over you. And at the close of the day, when it comes to die, you'll be in the fold and you'll be with Jesus. We hope that you'll write to us if you have a question or if you accepted Jesus. And I hope that you'll write and help us financially, because we have to have your help. You write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002-2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I want to pray for you now as we come to the close. And dear Lord, I just thank you for the multitudes everywhere that are opening their heart to you. They're being born again right now. They're becoming a part of that little flock. And I just pray for those that are struggling and those are sad and those are weary and maybe they lost a loved one. And oh God, help them to know that you're the balm of Gilead and you know all about it. You have suffered long before they suffered, and just comfort and strengthen them. And Lord, we pray for the people in Lebanon today, those who are being persecuted for the righteousness' sake. Bless them and watch and help the families, Lord, and the little children that are left behind. We just thank you. You're such a great shepherd. You love us and care for us. And dear Jesus, we surely love you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we just want to tell you all that we really appreciate you being with us. We're here. We're doing this because we love Jesus and we love you. And we're just so happy when we hear people that are being helped and those people that are coming to Jesus. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that is when there's a new name written down in glory, and it could be yours, your own name, but it'll never be there until you call on the name of the Lord and you're saved. So God bless you. See you next week, the Lord willing. And God loves you, and we love you also in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
You've been watching the Christian Worship Hour, the weekly broadcast that brings good news to the lost and encouragement to the believer. We hope that today's program has been a blessing in your life. Support our ministry by contacting us at the Christian Worship Hour, P.O. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or visit us online at ChristianWorshipHour.com. Be sure to join next week for another life-changing message from Pastor Salem.